Former New York Lieutenant Governor and former Connecticut gubernatorial candidate Betsy McCoy is petitioning the Connecticut Republican Party to be their new chair. In a letter and video posted to her Facebook page just 2 days ago on the 16th, McCoy outlined her beliefs on what the state party must do to win the governor's race this coming November and why she would make a better leader than current chairman Ben Proto. Here to comment on the letter and speak about what the state Republican Party must do to secure a victory this November is current state Republican Party Chairman Ben Proto. Mr. Chairman, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
John, thanks for having me on this morning. Appreciate you taking some time.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, did you know that this was coming? Did you know that Ms. McCoy had, you know, had these aspirations? Have you had conversations with her?
No.
No, okay, fair enough. So now, first thing I want to ask you about is in the letter, she states that, you know, the regular election for GOP chair, like your job should be safe for another year. The election doesn't take place until June of 2027, but a special election can take place. How often has a special election like the one she's calling for taken place? And what are your, you know, what are your thoughts on its likelihood of happening?
He doesn't first have to do is there has to would have to be a motion to remove an officer, which requires a 2/3 vote, positive vote of the entire membership of the committee. Mm-hmm. To the best of my knowledge, it's never happened. The likelihood of that happening is probably slim to none. But here's the thing, John.
Yeah.
Betsy can do what she wants, and Betsy can run around and post stuff on Facebook and social media and talk about dividing the party. That's not my interest. My interest is in uniting the party. We came out of the convention tremendously united, first time in a very long time, that the Republican Party is not the party that's divided. That's not the party that's fighting with itself. And so if Betsy wants to do that, knock your socks off, Betsy. I'm interested in electing Ryan Fazio and Matt Corey and a Republican ticket. And we're working very hard on that. Ryan and Matt are out pounding pavement around the state doing what they're doing. We're working very closely with the Fazio-Corey campaign to make that happen. And we've been doing that for a very long time. And look, you know, she wants to talk about me. That's great. One of the big differences I think about Betsy and myself is Betsy lives in the me and I world. I live in the we and us world.
Okay.
And that's a tremendously important aspect of what's going to happen over the next number of months as we move into November. So I'm very committed to, and the party is very committed, and our team is very committed to a unified team, a working together team. And Ryan and Matt and our entire ticket are out doing that. And so we're tremendously fortunate in that. And I think we're the party that has the vision for what needs to be done in Connecticut to change Connecticut. And we've been working on that for a very long time, you know, not only within the party, but within our campaigns, working with the House and the Senate caucus, working with the NRCC on our congressional races, working with the White House when need be. To do things along those lines. So, you know, as I said, you know, Betsy can do what she wants. I consider it just to be noise, more noise on social media. My goal is to promote Ryan Fazio, Matt Corey, our entire ticket, to get us elected to change Connecticut. Because, John, here's the thing. The people of Connecticut are desperate for change.
Okay.
In the state. We're the highest tax state in the country. We have among the highest energy rates in the country, highest health care costs in the country, highest property taxes in the country. As we go on and on and on, John,
right.
Those things have to change. And they don't change by changing horses in the middle of the stream and trying to divide the party when we've come out united. And Betsy stood on that stage at Mohegan Sun when she withdrew from the race because she didn't have the support she needed to get to a primary where she hadn't raised enough money to be able to qualify to get a primary grant, which I think speaks volumes of some of her abilities if she were chairman, because that's the primary job of the chairman is raising money. And she stood on that stage and talked about being united by working together, by being together, by doing everything she could to ensure that the Connecticut Republican Party and Ryan Fazio and Matt Corey were elected.
No, and that was...
I guess those words were kind of empty, but I'm more interested in really talking about Ryan and Matt Corey and the entire Republican ticket than I am about who the chairman. Because at the end of the day, John, there isn't a single person in the state of Connecticut who's going to go into a voting booth and vote for somebody because Ben Proto or Roberto Alves are the chairman of their respective parties.
Well, that, you know, and that's a good point. And I laughed at your empty words comment because I was surprised to hear her completely full-throated, endorsement of Fazio immediately after losing quite badly to him in the delegate vote.
She withdrew. She didn't lose. She withdrew.
Okay.
Right? She withdrew.
Fair distinction.
The vote was over.
Very fair distinction. Now, I want to draw your attention to. So she brings up 3 points in the letter. I don't know. It doesn't sound from your bluntness, which I appreciate, by the way. It doesn't sound like you've spent a whole lot of time looking at this letter. But she brings up 3 points about what Republicans need to do to win in November. Two of them are pretty stock for anything. A playbook of bold vote getting ideas, sure. Business community pulling for us, sure. Especially in any GOP playbook that's going to come up. Her second point was we need help from the White House. And that drew my attention a little bit because I do wonder where the state party is landing on that. You know, I mean, in Connecticut specifically, President Trump is very unpopular. I think that there's a lot of numbers and a lot of studies to support that. A lot of his policies are very unpopular. And there is a growing sense that for Republicans, for Connecticut Republicans specifically to win in November, distance from the White House could be a good thing, as opposed to what, you know, Betsy McCoy is suggesting is, getting more help from the White House, having a closer connection. How do you feel about that?
You know, look, this comes up a lot about, and when you talk about the White House,
I'm
obviously
sure.
You're talking about the president. And look, at the end of the day, I've told people all the time, you know, regardless of what midterm election you're in, the president of the United States is always the 800-pound gorilla in the room. In a midterm. We might happen to have a 1,000-pound gorilla in the room this time, but they're always the primary focus in a midterm election, regardless of the popularity or lack of popularity. And what I tell our candidates about Trump is, look, you can't run away from the president because he's there, but you can talk about his policies because there are policies that the president has enacted that have been tremendously helpful to Connecticut and people in Connecticut. The big, beautiful bill put a lot of money back in people's pockets. They put in, you know, between our SALT deductions, our senior deductions, our no tips, our no tax on tips, our no tax on overtime. People saw more tax refunds in the state of Connecticut on their federal side when they were paying money to the state of Connecticut on their income tax side than ever before. And people who didn't get tax refunds paid less money. We've seen increases in spending for Sikorsky, for Electric Boat, for Pratt and Whitney, all of which create huge jobs in this state and particularly outside of those particular four walls of those industries with all the various component industries out there that work with them. We've seen a closed border, which has reduced the number of illegals entering this country who, you know, drain a lot of funds coming in. And we've seen things working. We've seen an agreement now to denuclearize Iran, and the whole world knows that nuclear Iran is a really bad thing for the entire world, not just the United States of America.
Right.
So there are a lot of things that the president has done that we should be proud of and that we should talk about. And I understand there are people who don't necessarily like the way the president oftentimes talks. But when we
well,
get down
I think
to
it does go.
It works,
I think it goes far beyond rhetoric. I do think it goes far beyond rhetoric, though, Mr. Chairman. I do think that. I mean, I think that there are policies. You know, people are very upset about, you know, rising gas prices. I'm not here to get into a tete-a-tete, by the way. I 100% hear what you're saying.
You've already seen gas prices coming down after the agreement was announced.
Well, yes, but they wouldn't have gone up in the first place if we hadn't been there. I think is what people are saying.
John, you want to bring up the issue. We're going to talk about the issue.
Sure.
We went to Iran for a particular reason, to denuclearize Iran, because I think you and I can agree.
Yeah.
And if you don't, then I think you need to rethink things. That a nuclear Iran is a very bad thing for the world.
So,
and for 47 years, that country has killed thousands upon thousands of Americans, as well as people from other countries. They threaten nuclear violence, and we know they are the one country that would use it. And we finally had a president who went in and stopped it.
Ben, absolutely. And I'm not here to sit here and say that Iran are the good guys. No. That's not what I'm doing. No, but hold on, though. Listen to what I'm saying. What I'm saying is from purely a campaign strategy, you know, we could sit here and we could discuss the president all day. But you and I aren't going to fix anything this morning.
You can't run away from the president of the United States.
Okay.
Regardless
all right.
Regardless of who the president is. You couldn't run away from Joe Biden. The Democrats couldn't run away from Joe Biden.
Sure.
You can't run away from Barack Obama. We couldn't run away. You can't run away from the president because he is, in fact, the president, and he is the most noticeable person in the world.
Yes.
And his policies are the most impactful oftentimes. And so, like I said, the president is always the 800-pound gorilla in the room. So you have to figure out how to deal with that issue. whether you like him or you don't like him,
sure,
as a candidate, he's the president. And so he will always draw the attention. He's always going to draw the discussion. He's always going to be part of the conversation. And you have to figure out how to talk about that, because saying running away from it isn't going to work.
Okay. All right. Absolutely. Absolutely. Again, just a campaign strategy question. But you know what? Let's end on a little bit of a campaign strategy question, because you did address this a little bit earlier. But let me get back to the Fazio campaign. What do you think are, you know, the key strategies, over the summer, as the Democrats do have to take care of their primary first before they can really focus on yep, you know, on fighting the Republicans in the first place, on campaigning against the Republicans. Yep. I don't like to use the word fight. What are the strategies that you think the Fazio campaign should be taking going into the general?
I think the primary focus has to be on, you know, again, and we talk about this a lot, is obviously making Connecticut affordable. And we saw yesterday, you know, Ryan had a press conference in Hamden about property tax and property tax relief. And that may be one of the biggest drivers. That and energy costs are two of the biggest drivers of affordability issues that the Democrats have created in the state of Connecticut.
Yeah.
And they continue to double down on it. So that, I think that's an issue. I think, you know, talking about parents and parental rights and parents having the ultimate say about their children and how their children are raised and what their children are learning, you know, and, you know, caring for their children. The Democrats have, again, attempted to insert themselves as the primary parent in many ways to children in the state of Connecticut, and I think that's a problem. Mm. I think law enforcement, you know, the Democrats have taken a really bad look at law enforcement, our police officers. They've tied their hands. They've done things, I think, to really put law enforcement people in a position where it becomes more and more difficult for them to do their job. We've seen more police officers and first responders leave the profession in the state of Connecticut. And right now, I think across the state, there's almost 1,200 empty police officer and first responder jobs because nobody wants a job because of what the Democrats have done. So I think those are things that Ryan and the Republicans have to talk about and have to have a plan for. And that is being developed and put out there. And when we look at the Democrat side, I think it's really important to understand what's going on in the Democratic Party in Connecticut. There is an absolute fight for the heart and soul of the Democratic Party between what's the far left and the progressive socialist side. And we're seeing that with Luke Broden. We're seeing that with Josh Elliott. We're seeing that with, you know, some of the folks who are challenging sitting Democrats in the state of Connecticut, and in some cases had taken out Democrats in caucuses and conventions and town committee meetings for endorsement. So there's a real fight within the Democratic Party for how far left they can take this state. And I think at the end of the day, people don't want to go there. They see what's happening in New York City. They've seen what's happening in Minneapolis. They've seen what's happened in Seattle and other places in California,
well,
Los Angeles, and San Francisco.
What happened
in
New York City?
At the end of the day, I don't think people want to go there.
What happened in New York City? We're not talking about the Knicks celebration, are we?
Oh, well, no, I mean, we finally found something good. That and the Yankees. You know, I mean, the Yankees are on a roll here. My Yankees are rolling. You know, God love Gold. Paul Goldschmidt. God, I love that man.
Sure. No, listen, I mean, you know, we're all big fans, you know, we're all big fans of Jalen Brunson. We're all big fans of Chip and Five. I'm just saying, what happened in New York City?
Well, I think what you're seeing with Mondami and where Mondami is taking that city and wants to take that city.
Okay.
Some of the exodus you're beginning to see along those lines. But I mean, the political aspect of New York City.
Sure. All right. I got you.
You know,
well, no, you said Minneapolis right after.
We still have the mess of the Jets.
We do. That's a whole.
But we don't really talk about that.
Oh, gosh. Ben, that's a whole other 15 minutes. In fact, that's a whole other couple hours. Okay. All right. From a political perspective, you had mentioned Minneapolis right after, so I just wanted to clarify that. But okay, I got you.
Yeah.
I got what you're saying.
Yeah. So I think, you know, when we look at that, and, you know, one of the things people have asked me, they said, you know, the last couple of cycles you run on the issue of affordability, it really hasn't seemed to resonate. And I said, well, that's true. I said, but I think there's a difference in 2026 than there was in 2024 and 2022.
Sure.
In 2022 and 2024, people would agree that Connecticut was unaffordable, but they still pay their bills every month. In 2026, you have people saying Connecticut is unaffordable, and I can't pay my bills every month. And when you look at what the Democrats have done, particularly the disparity in wages between state employees and private sector employees, State employees, the average salary for now state employees in excess of $100,000 a year, when the average salary in the private sector in the state of Connecticut is just over $65,000 a year. And that's a real problem. When you look at somebody, let's take, and I use this example all the time. We recently had college graduations, and UConn graduated about a month ago. God bless them, and I wish them all a lot of luck.
Yeah.
But if a student comes out of UConn in the middle of May and starts the next Monday morning with a job at $60,000 a year, they can't afford to live in the state of Connecticut.
No.
As a 23-year-old making $60,000 a year, unless they're living in their parents' house with their parents paying all their bills, their parents paying the mortgage, their parents paying the electric bills, their parents buying the food, their parents paying their car for their car, they can't afford to live in the state of Connecticut. At $60,000 a year, 23 years old, think about that. When you and I were 23 years old, we would have given our right arm to make like $40,000
a year. Yes. Oh, goodness,
and would have been able to pay all our bills and go out Friday and Saturday night and have a good time.
Absolutely.
That doesn't happen today for a 23-year-old making $60,000, $70,000, $80,000 a year right out of school. They can't pay their bills. And that's the biggest difference in the state of Connecticut right now in 2026, is that it's unaffordable and people are struggling to pay their bills every month. And I think that's going to play a big thing on it, a big role in it. And look, we look at what happened in November of 2025.
Yes.
People voted in Democrats into running their cities, not because they knew anything about them, but because they didn't like the guy in the White House. And what they're finding now is they're looking at themselves, my God, what did I do? This person doesn't know what they're doing. And so I think the other thing you're going to see this year is people are going to be more interested in qualifications of the people that they're voting for. Hmm. They still may look at the person in the White House, but I think they're going to say, can this person be the governor? Can this person be my state representative or state senator? Do they have the ability? Do they have the qualifications? Do they have the ideas to do this? Or am I just going to go in there and vote for John Smith, who I know nothing about because he's the Democrat and I don't like the guy in the White House who has almost no impact on my day-to-day life in the state of Connecticut when John Smith does?
No, that's, I mean, listen, the fact that Connecticut went as blue, I mean, you know, you expect Connecticut to go blue, but there are many areas that are more traditionally purple that did go blue. And I do think that you are correct in saying that that's just basically, it just came down to blue versus red. And I do wonder if people are going to, if that trend is going to continue or if we're going to see a little bit of a change. But listen, I mean, you know, one way or another, it sounds like you are committed to remaining the leader for the red team in the interim, and that you're not overly bothered by Ms. McCoy's attempts to unseat you.
I look at it this way, John. Yeah. We can end on this. Yeah. I got elected to do a job. I'm going to do the job I was elected to. Other people can, you know, and look, criticism is easy. That's what social media is about. Social media is about negativity. It is not about positivity. It's one of the biggest issues I think we have, not only in our country, but this world right now, and why we're seeing things were happening, and particularly with our younger generations. I'm focused on doing a job, and the next chairman of the state of Connecticut's Republican Party will be whoever Governor Fazio decides he wants to be chairman.
Yes, sir. All right. Chairman of the state Republican Party, Ben Proto, thank you so much for joining me today. I really appreciate your time.
Anytime, John. Look forward to it. Thanks.
Thank you, sir. You're listening to Melissa in the Morning. This is John Kamal in for Melissa on The Voice Connecticut, WYCC.